Welcome to Parshas HaShavua podcast. This week's Parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh. Tetzaveh has a number of, it's normally famously known for the Parsha that deals with the garments of the Kohanim, but actually it has a bunch of different sections. The first is a mitzvah for Moshe Rabbeinu to bring oil, to command the Jewish people to bring oil, pure olive oil, to light the menorah. Then, of course, we have the section of the garments of the Kohanim, the regular Kohanim, and the Kohen Gadol. We have some laws to do with certain karbonis and rituals in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. And then we also have the commandment to make a small Mizbeach. Interesting that in last week's parasha we had all the Kalim, but not this one. The Mizbeach Hazov, the golden Mizbeach, the little one in the Mishkan, which was used every day to bring Ketoiris, to bring incense. Okay, so let's just share a few insights on some of the different sections. So first of all, in the very beginning, it says, V'ata tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you will command the b'nei Yisrael, they will bring to you shemen zayzoch, pure olive oil, to light the menorah. This commandment is said in an interesting language. It's not the normal way where Hashem speaks to Moshe, like V'yedaber Hashem l'Moshe lemar, please command the Jewish people to do this. It says, V'ato, and you will command the Jewish people. Now, one of the ideas behind is the famous concept that in this week's parasha, the name of Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. It's the only parasha from when Moshe Rabbeinu is born until the book of Dvarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. And of course, the famous reason for it is because when the Yidden did the Egel Hazov, the golden calf, which we read about in next week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with Hashem to forgive them, and he said, if not, mecheni no mesifrecho asher kasafto, erase me from your book that you have written. Now Hashem did forgive them, but nevertheless the effects of a strong, harsh thing that a tzaddik says is always has some impact, even though it was done conditionally and the condition was not fulfilled. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's name was taken out of Parshas Tetzaveh. However, given that that is the language of the Torah of Atta Tetzaveh, we find all different types of ideas behind this in the language of Atta Tetzaveh. One of them is the Ora Chaim HaKadosh that says, V'Atta Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. Now we know the word Tetzaveh means you will command the Jewish people, but Tetzaveh can also mean Tzavsa, to connect, which means you will connect with the Jewish people. The Ora Chaim HaKadosh says that it means that in every generation, in every Yid, there's a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. We all have a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is very relevant and very important to understand, because what that means is Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate leader, and of course there's an Hashem of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation, but the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu is the tzaddik that is one with Hashem, the tzaddik that is completely connected to Hashem. And the fact that we all have a nitzutz, a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu, that means we all have the ability to reveal within ourselves and to ignite that a special bond with Hashem, and how it impacts and how it evolves and results in proper Torah and mitzvahs. So that's what it means by Atta Tetzaveh. Elsewhere, it's also explained in a similar way that also defines what Moshe Rabbeinu does as a leader. It's Atta Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. You will connect, not necessarily with the b'nei Yisrael, but you will connect the b'nei Yisrael, which means that the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu is to connect the Yidden with Hashem. Like it says in the very, very beginning of the story of the Exodus from Egypt, Vayaminu b'Hashem and Moshe Avdo, the Yidden believed in Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, his servant. It was Moshe Rabbeinu that brought the Yidden close to the Emunah and the connection with Hashem, and that's the pshat of Atot Tetzaveh, and you will connect the B'nai Yisrael with Hashem. The next part of the parasha is the garments. Now we know that the Torah commands in great detail how to design the garments for the Kohanim, Bigdei Kohuna. A regular Kohen had four garments, the Kohen Gadol had eight. And it was a reminder, it was L'chovod de L'Sifaros, was done very beautifully, and it was a reminder for the Kohen when they wore the garments that they were in a specific holy mission and they were serving Hashem. So that's what the Mefarshim explained. It wasn't so much for Hashem's sake, the garments, but it was more for the Kohen themselves. They should to create an awareness, a consciousness of what they're doing and where they are, and who they're serving, and so on and so forth. The Sfas Emes points out an interesting thing. He says that the halachas of Bigdei Kohuna, the halachas of the garments of the Kohanim in this week's parasha come right after the mitzvah of producing oil, pure olive oil, for the Shemen Zayizoch, for the menorah. He says why they're connected. He says because Shemen represents something more spiritual. He calls it the Das Hamoyach, the inside of the brain, that it should be pure, Shemen Zayizoch. Whereas the garments of the Kohanim represent the garments of the body. And therefore, the Torah tells us, and this is hinted in a pasuk in Koheles, that b'chol aciu b'godecha levonim v'shemen al roish chol yechzar. The Torah tells us that Shlomo HaMelech says that at all times your garment should be clean, and there should be no lacking of oil. What that means is that we have to look after both our neshama and our body. And a shaman that it should be pure, our thoughts should be pure, our motives should be pure, and we should serve Hashem properly. And of course, the guf, the body, we also have to look after, and it should be pure and do the mitzvahs with it properly, that it should be properly elevated and whole and healthy to be able to serve Hashem with the neshama coming through the body. So therefore, this is the two concepts in this week's parasha, the olive oil and the bigdei kohuna, the garments, because those are the garments of the body. Now, we explained that another concept in this week's parasha is the Mizbeach Hazov. Now, we're not going to go into now why the Mizbeach Hazov, why the golden altar is only said in this week's parasha, why it's not listed together with the other Kalim in the previous parasha. But nevertheless, we have this mitzvah to build a small Mizbeach on which there was the Avodas HaKetoiris, there was the bringing of the Ketoiris, the incense, the daily incense. Unlike the big mizbeach, which were for the animal sacrifices, and that was in the courtyard of the Mishkan, or the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, this was represented a deeper and holier connection between the Yidden and Hashem. The Mizbeach Hazov, the golden altar, was actually built in the Kodesh, in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, that was called the Kodesh, called the part that's called more holy. The Avodah, this ritual of bringing Ketoris, was considered a very holy ritual. It was something that was very special, and according to some Mefarshim, it actually represented a very powerful energy, powerful spiritual energy, and it also represented the connection between the Yid and Hashem, the bond between the Yid and Hashem, because it's also brought down that the word ketoiris can mean in Aramaic katar, which means a knot, a bond. The Gemara tells us a fascinating thing, the Mishnah of the Gemara, Masechta Yoma, and other places, that every day in the Beis HaMikdash, when there were many Kohanim, not in the Mishkan, of course, there were only five Kohanim, but, and even less, there was when Nadav and Avihu passed away, there was only Lazar and Yisomar and Aaron and Pinchas later. But in the Beis HaMikdash, when there were many Kohanim every day, and it was split into different groups, in the morning, they would do some sort of lottery system to choose which Kohanim would do the various rituals in the Beis HaMikdash. One of the things they would do is, they would draw lots, so to speak, they would choose who was going to be the one who would bring Ketoris that day. And the Gemara says that they would announce Chadoshim Liktoris. Only Kohanim that have not done this mitzvah to date may become part of this selection process to choose who's going to do the Ketoris. Why? Because the Gemara says that the Kohanim only would, a Kohen was only able to bring Ketoris once in his life, because Rab Hanino says, "Mipnei shema'asheres," because actually it makes you rich. There's a special bracha that it makes you very wealthy, and therefore they had to share around that bracha, and one kohen couldn't do it twice. The Rambam says that if you had a situation where all the kohenim present had already done the ketores, then you just take a lottery, and whoever does ketores in the morning does it also in the afternoon, and then you can do it. There's an interesting halacha which is rooted in this idea, and I'm just going to mention it because it's just out of interest. In many midrashim, it is brought that the mitzvah of bris milah, the mitzvah of bris milah, when a person circumcises his child, it's similar, the holiness is similar to haktoras, haktoras, to bring ketoras. And that's why the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, in the name of the Maharil, that a sandik, which is the one who holds the baby by the bris milah, is like the one bringing Ketoris, like the Kohen bringing Ketoris. And therefore, there's a minhag that in one family, you don't give one person sandik twice. just like a Torah. And this is also written in the Savo of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that if a person has two children, more than one son, he shouldn't give the person who was Sandik by the first son to be a Sandik again, and therefore you spread it around, you give other people. These exceptions brought down that sometimes a big Rav or a Sadik can be more than once in one family, whatever the case is, but this is a interesting concept. There are those that argue with it. The Vilna Gaon wasn't so supportive of this idea, although it is written in the Ramah and in many, many Sifri Halacha, and that is in fact the minhag today that people don't get, most places, you don't give sandikois to the one person twice in the same family. There are those that say actually that the real, because also being a sandik like the Katoiris is a zgula for wealth, same sort of idea. However, it is written in the Sefer Torah Schayinu Masechta Sanhedrin that this that we say that sandikois is a zgula for wealth is only actually if the sandik holds the baby by the bris, and when the baby is given a name, which today we call Sandik Mu'umr or Sandik Sheni, whatever the case is, and also drinks from the cup of wine, then it's a zgula. Whatever the case is, it is a minute, and it's rooted in this idea of Ketoros, which I thought I would mention because the Mizbeach of Ketoros is in this week's parsha. I want to end off with an idea. It comes from a talk of the Lubavitcher Rebbe when he made once a siyum on Masechta Chagiga, which deals with the two Mizbeachs that were in the Mishkan. Now, the Mizbeach and the Mishkan, there were two Mizbeachs. One was called Mizbeach HaNechoshes, different to the Beis HaMikdash, because it was made out of earth and then covered in copper. That's how it was called Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The small Mizbeach was called Mizbeach HaZov, because that was covered in gold. Now, we know that the Kelim, the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, have the capacity, it's possible that if it comes into contact with an impure thing, that there can be makabel tumah. They can receive tumah, they can receive impurity. They can contract impurity, so to speak, right? The halacha at the end of Mishnayis Chagiga says that the Mizbeach Hazov and the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the two Mizbeachs, the one that brought Korbanus and the one that brought the Ketores, actually are not able to become tumah. Einoi mekabel tumma, they're not able to become tame. Why? And there's a machlokes, there's a dispute in the Mishnah why. One, mivnei shehein kekarka, because they are like earth. This is the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, because they were made out of earth and connected to the ground, they were like karka, like ground. And ground doesn't become tame, only a keli, a vessel, can become tame. Chachomim oimrim, most of the sages say, no, the reason is because the metal that they have, which is really can become tomei, like copper or gold, but because the metal that they have attached to them, the metal they were made from, is only a cover, it's not the actual mizbeach, therefore, although it is metal, the covering becomes sort of secondary to the actual structure, and because the structure, because it was earth, was not makabel tumah, so therefore the mizbeach itself also cannot be kabel tumah, because the metal is secondary, becomes bottle, so to speak, becomes just an addendum of the earth itself. Now, we know, we have a concept that everything that is written about the Beis HaMikdash, every halacha in Torah, every sugya in Gemara, has its simple pshat, but also has deeper levels of pshat and has spiritual applications as well. And therefore, he explains the following idea. We know that the Mishkan was not only a structure, the Mishkan is the Mishkan that we build inside of us, within us, for Hashem. We take our guidance and our formula from the actual Mishkan, but really, we know that Hashem said he will build a Mikdash, and he will dwell in them, he will dwell within every single person. Every person needs to build a Mishkan within themselves and in their environment. Now we know that the Mizbeach is a symbol of how we serve Hashem in this Mishkan. And it is possible, that a person can sometimes have interferences of foreign ideas, impure thoughts, even transgressions, and therefore it is possible for a person possibly to become tomei. Our kelim, our vessels, our seichel, our intellect, our emotions, our faculties, they can potentially become Tomei. So the Mishnah tells us, however, that we need to understand that really we can't become Tomei. Because we have a pintalid, we all have that part of us, that purity within us, that is not able to become Tomei, that always remains pure. So therefore, even when we get distracted by some sort of level of impurity, we need to know that we can always access, we can always ignite the part of us that is completely pure. That's like the Mizbeach where we give ourselves over to Hashem. And the question is why and how do we connect to that purity within us? So there's two concepts here. Rabbi Eliezer says, Karka, earth. The Mizbeach was like earth. What does earth symbolize? Complete humility, complete bittul, complete oneness with Hashem. In other words, it is possible for a person to connect to the Mizbeach. It is possible for a person to get to a space where they are so bottle, they are so one with Hashem, they are so humble, they are so surrendered and nullified towards Hashem, that it is possible then that no tumah, no impurity can be contracted, because the person is completely disassociated with any aspect of tumah during his whole being, and therefore not able to become Tomei. That is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanes. But the Chachamim disagreed. Why? The Chachamim said that's true for someone who's at that level. That's true for someone who can reach a level of total bittul, total surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about the regular person who doesn't counter impurity? What about the regular person that sometimes does have bad thoughts or negative thoughts or toxic emotions or even bad actions? And so what about that person? Does that person not have hope? That person is evidently not so bottled to Hashem. That person, even in their awareness and consciousness, has things which are impure. Says the Chachamim, that person also can't become Tomei, because although they might be lacking in the bittul, in the complete surrender and nullification towards Hashem, they do have some impurity with them, but they have to know that it's not real impurity. Why? Because even the impurity that we sometimes encounter, even the impurity that we have, is only a cover, it's only superficial. A Jew is never defined by impurity or toxicity. We might have it. We're not at such a big madrega to be completely bottled that we never have it. We might have it, but metzupin is only a cover. It's only the superficial veneer of our existence. Our true existence is the neshama. Our true existence is the bittul to Hashem. And therefore the stuff that we have on the outside, yes, we might have it. We might all not be in such a high madrega not to have it, but it's only superficial. It's only really an extension of our real neshama, and our real neshama is pure, and therefore we can always regain their purity and serve Hashem properly. That is a lesson from the two Mizbeachs, the Mizbeach Hazov and the Mizbeach Hanochoshes. Have a wonderful day and a very good Shabbos.